house of the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. Listen, there ain't no better place to be. Amen. And I understand weather and all that kind of stuff, you know. And let me just make this official here to all these that if you like the snow and you like the cold, I hope you're happy. Okay? Take a picture and let's move on to spring. Right? Come on, let's get out of this. I'll take that hot weather where I'm sweating and but a lot of people do, they really do. But now most people that like snow don't have to get out in it and travel. You know, I like it when I can sit at the house and set my easy chair and eat, look out the window and watch it. It's beautiful, you know. But when I got to get out on the roads and travel, that's another thing, you know, and stuff. You know, sooner or later, you got to go to Walmart, right? You got to get milk and bread sooner or later. So you need that gone. Praise God. All right. You all ready for the word? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for your word. Thank you, Father God, that you've already given us the victory. You, Lord God, have made us victorious. And so tonight, that's what we want to do, Father. We want to talk about how victorious we are, Father. We thank you for your anointing to be able to do that. And we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I don't like it when people can't get to come, you know, when they're held up and all that kind of thing. But you got to remember, I preached through COVID. So, you know, I know how to just look at empty chairs and just preach just like it's a house full, you know, because the anointing of God doesn't change whether there's a house full or there's just one of us. Right? Come on. He says if there's just one or two, he said, I'll be right there in the midst. And so he's here. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 119:89. Psalm 119 and verse 89. I will get there really quick here. Psalms 119, 89. Very familiar. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Now, I want to just stop there. And what I want to talk about here, first of all, in order for us to be victorious, we have to stay in the Word. Amen. You're not going to get victory outside the Word, because our victory is based upon the Word of God. Amen. That's the only way we know we're victorious, because how many know sometimes we don't feel too victorious? Come on, there's those times that we don't feel like we've got the victory, but according to the Word of God, we already do have it. Amen. Let me give you the scripture so you'll know. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 and 58 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to beg Him for it. We don't have to plead for it. We already have victory. The problem with most Christians is this, is we tend to play the victim. I mean, you can tell a lot of times, even on social media, you can tell the people that play victims. They'll get on there and kind of moan and groan about all their troubles, wanting people to come in there and comment and say, oh, bless your little heart. And see, as a child of God, we're not fighting from a place of defeat. As a child of God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're always fighting from a place of victory. We are not the underdogs. Come on, we are always the champions. We're always the victorious. Come on, it's the enemy that's down, is the underdog. He's always trying to take us down. And we have to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm the winner here. Come on, I've got the number one slot. He wants it, but he can't get it. You see, he wanted God's slot. But hear what I said, you are God's children. You are God's children. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. So you are not fighting from a place of defeat or being under, or that's why he said you're the head, not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. That's why the Bible teaches us that we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ. Why? Because God set us above all the things of this world and gave us the victory. Hallelujah. That's something to get excited about. So he says, God always gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, look, he's talking to us. We're the beloved brethren. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You just keep on keeping on no matter what it looks like, because you understand I've got the victory, and as long as I keep pressing, it is not in vain. I am an overcomer. I am victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already said that I am. Now, let me give you another scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I'm born of God, aren't you? Come on, we've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're born of God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now listen to this. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, because the Lord has given us faith, and because we can operate in faith, we can always walk in victory. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if we're facing great adversity. We can still walk in the victory because it's already been given to us. We're not trying to get the victory. We already have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. All we're doing when we have to do battle is just show the devil that we are number one. Come on, we're the champion that everybody else wants to try to whip. Right? Come on. That's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the anointing of God that's upon our life. Now, over in 1 Samuel, jump over there if you want to with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And look at verse 41. See, we gotta be like David. We've gotta know that God is for us, and if He's for us, who can be against us? In chapter 17, verse 41, the David is facing a great adversity. He's facing the Philistine champion. He is champion of the Philistines. Now, you need to get a hold of that. I'm telling you that you're the champion. And here the Bible's talking about him being a champion of the Philistines. He's a giant. No wonder. He's got a lot of advantages. But he lacks one thing. Remember, the Bible says that you and I, we're victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just victorious because of his own strength, because of his size and all the things that are there. And so when David comes out against him, I want to read this so that you can see what the Bible says. We'll start in verse 41 here. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. Understand this. He's got another guy with him carrying his shield for him. Can you just picture that? You know, can you picture the big giant coming out with that huge sword and walking out there, and he's got his little guy beside him carrying his shield for him like he is somebody. He wants to wreak terror in the lives that anybody's around. He's done a good job at it because all the Israel army is over there shaking in their boots, hiding from him. And all he is just a big bully with a big mouth that thinks he's something. Did you hear what I said? He ain't never went up against what he's about to go up against now. Because what he's about to go up against, let me just help you understand this, is somebody that knows his God. It's somebody that's been with his God in the secret place. He's somebody that's been with God all along out while he was tending the sheep. He's somebody that has the heart of God, where he's writing songs to God and giving adoration to God right out in the middle of it. All he's got is some sheep out there bad. He is a champion, and the giant doesn't know it. Remember when Saul talked to him? We didn't read it, but it's before that. Saul says, oh, you're just a lad. And David looks at him. He said, when that lion came after my dad's sheep, I killed him. I took him. I killed him. When the bear came, I killed him. You know what I'm going to do? Same thing to this Philistine out here. See, that's a man that already knew he was victorious before he ever walked out there. Saul tried to give him armies. I can't fight in that. I've never tried nothing like that. I know what I'm going to do, and I know what I'm capable of with what God has given me. See, there's a good message right there. You have to use what God has given you to remain victorious. You can't get victorious using something somebody else is doing. You have to do what God tells you to do. And so, let's read on here. So he goes out there, he's got a guy bearing his shield, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. In other words, he belittled him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's just a boy. Just a fair-looking boy, according to the Bible. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field." Now listen. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." He's not come up against something like this before. He goes on and says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." It came to pass when the Philistine arose that he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Of course, Israel went after him and they whipped up on him. See, what I want you to see here, church, is David was going up against what looked like insurmountable odds. He was going up against something that it looked like this is a no-brainer, that big giant is going to squish him. But you see, here's the difference. David said, "You're trying to fight with your sword and your spear and your shield. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." Come on, think about that. He's so heavily armed, the champion, the Philistine is, and all David's got's a slingshot. Come on, think about that one for a minute. But you see, that's all it takes when God's power is behind what you release. See, when you use what God has given you, God's power behind that makes the difference. That stone, the Bible says, sunk into the forehead of the giant and he hit the ground. And can you picture that? The giant is so big that David has to stand up on top of him to get his sword out of his sheath. I mean, come on, you got a picture of that. That's kind of comical. If you were watching that in a movie, you'd laugh. But it wouldn't have laughing matter for David. He pulled the sword and cut the giant's head off. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of adversity, he was victorious. See, it doesn't matter what the devil comes at you with as long as the Lord's on your side. Did you hear me? As long as you understand that you're fighting, David never once in his mind ever had a doubt that he had victory over that Philistine before he went out there. He told everybody. He told them when he first heard of it, they said, "Have you heard this guy over here, what he's saying? Well, who is he, this uncircumcised Philistine, to defile the armies of God? I'll take care of him." And they went and told Saul the king. And Saul got him over and he said, "I'll take care of him. I'll kill the bear, kill the lion. I'll go kill him." Never once did he say, "Well, you know, I'll try my best." Come on, right? Christians, a lot of times, that's our cop-out. "Well, I'm going to try my best." But we don't try our best. See, you either got to get that attitude, the mentality that I am victorious and I will overcome, or you're going to be walking that you know, I don't know for sure. That unsteadiness. No. We got to have our mind settled already that we've got the victory before we go into something. There's no room for doubt. We have to continue to speak the victory, and we have to believe what we say. Come on. See, it's one thing to talk it. It's another thing to walk it. Right? Come on, you know, I mean, it's amazing to me that people, you know, they talk about, you know, how much they can't, you know, I hope the Lord comes and gets us pretty soon. I can't wait for the Lord to come and get us. You know, they're expecting the Lord Jesus to raise them up off the earth. But He can't raise them out of bed on Sunday morning. Anybody ever thought about that? Come on now. That's not much victory right there. Come on. That's not acting victorious when you can't. Come on now. We gotta learn to say it and then act on it. And trust the Lord in what we're acting on. David never doubted that God was on his side, and that gave him the victory from the very first moment he went up against that giant. You've got to understand that God is on your side, so no matter what adversity you go up against, you know you've already won. It's already a done deal. Come on, don't matter what that is. No matter what the enemy's trying to throw at you, we gotta believe it, we gotta speak it, we gotta act on it. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus says, O generations of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if we've got victory in our heart, then we're going to speak victory out of our mouth. Not doubt and unbelief. Come on now. We need to be expect. Listen, as children of God and having the power of God inside of us, we are so much attracted to the world that we cannot speak the things of God and believe for them to come to pass. We're so caught up in everything, and we got to realize that the things of God are more real than the things in this earth. Because the things in this earth are just temporary, but the things of the kingdom of God, they're eternal. And so we've got to begin to believe higher, speak higher, talk more about our victory, and walk in that victory. Let the victorious life of God be seen in us. Now, victorious people act victoriously. Right? We act victorious. If we're going to be a victorious person, we're going to have to act victorious. I know he ended on a kind of a bad note. But if you look at Samson would just basically, I mean, if really you could actually call him a smart aleck when it came to his strength. Right? I mean, the things that Samson did, if you read the story about Samson, you know, they tried to lay in wait on him. They're going to put an ambush on him, and Samson gets up, grabs the gates of the city and just carries them all the way top of the hill and throws their gates down on top of the hill. You know, they try to set him up again. Samson gets some foxes and lights their tails on fire and sends them through their fields and catches them on fire. There's a bunch of them comes up on him. He takes the jawbone of a donkey and kills about 1,000 of them. I mean, think about that. Not a time did he not act victorious. The only time, even while Delilah was tricking him, every time she'd wake him up and say, Samson, the Philistines be up on him, he'd just jump up and, I'm ready for them. Yeah, he was slow. He had to be slow. Yeah, I mean, you know, after a few times of her doing that, you'd think, but you know what, a woman can do some things to a man, you know. And so finally she got him to go to sleep in her lap, got him drunk, and had his hair cut. And when he jumped up that time, the Bible says he didn't know the Spirit had departed from him. But even then, he acted victorious. Because he jumped up and said, I'll just do like I always have done. But it didn't work that time because he had messed up. He hadn't stayed with God. He hadn't done what God had said. See, again, our victory is in God. It's not in anything that we are or we can do. But we have to make ourselves available, present our bodies a living sacrifice, and allow the Spirit of God to work through us, and then there's nothing that we can't do. There wasn't nothing Samson couldn't do, but when he got away from God, it all stopped. There's nothing you can do as long as you stay with God and stay in the Word and do what God tells you to do and keep that attitude. I'm victorious. I win. Even Elijah, remember when he was up on the mountain, he had prayed that it didn't rain. Then he's up there praying for it to rain. And then when they finally, the guy comes and he says, go look again. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. You know, Elijah jumps up, takes off running in victory, and he actually beats the king back to the city, and he's in chariots and horses. You know, if you think about, you know, anybody watch any race I've run, and I like to watch it sometimes. Some of those guys can really run fast. But you can watch them. They'll be running round and round and doing their laps, and they're racing against somebody else. Man, they're giving it everything they've got. They're emptying themselves out. And by the time they get to the finish line, you can just see. I mean, they're just so glad they hit the finish line. And, you know, a lot of them have been over and they're like that. And then they run over there and they stick a flag in the hand of the winner because he just won. You know what he does? He takes off, runs a victory lap. Runs it again. And this time he's running in victory because he knows that he's already won that race. That's what Christians ought to be doing. We ought to take some laps. We don't take enough laps around this church in victory. You know that? We don't run enough because we've already got the victory and we need to be taking victory laps. Don't devil tells you, oh, you're not going to make it. You ought to do a victory lap. Come on. Devil says, oh, you know, this sickness is going to take you out. You ought to just do a victory lap. Devil says, oh, you're going to go broke. It ain't going to work for you. You ought to just go ahead and do a victory lap. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's true. Exactly right. Because we've already got the victory. We just need to act like we're victorious. Because victorious people act victorious. Amen. Now, I wish everybody was here to hear this so we could kind of get them stirred up. Because we've got a lot of folks in the body of Christ that don't act like they're too victorious. The Bible says they are. God says they are. But they don't act like it. And some of them, like Brother Ridges said, he said they don't know it. And the reason they don't know it is because they don't see it in the Word. So you have to, if the Word says it, it's settled. That's why I read that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Either God's a liar or we've already got the victory. I believe we got the victory, don't you? Hallelujah. And you know, you can see little glimpses of it sometimes in people. But then the devil hits at them and they just kind of melt back down. Listen, it's time to start looking the devil in the eye and letting him know, hey, I have the victory in Jesus' name and there ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. He can't, church. He hates you for that because you have what he once had. You have an anointing of God on your life. And he knows the anointing. He just doesn't walk in it anymore. Hallelujah. But you are. You're walking in it because God chose to give it to you. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll do this first just for the sake of time. But, let's go over and read it. Dadgone it. We got a little time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at verse 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, you've got to understand that some kings have come up against Jehoshaphat. And they're really outnumbered and it don't look good for the children of Israel. You know, can I just tell you something? When the odds are against you, when it don't look good for you, that's when God shines the brightest. That's when he shows up the most and says, I'm here right now. See, you can't let what you see affect what you know. I'm going to say that one more time. You can't let what you see, and I'll add this, you can't let what you add or you can't see or what you feel affect what you know. Because the enemy works in those areas of what you see and what you feel. But what you know, what the Word says. See, that X's out what you see and what you feel. Because the Word is truth. What you see, what you feel can be symptoms. But the truth is the Word of God. That's the thing that takes care of the whole thing. Now, here they are. And let's pick up in verse 17 of this. It says, and here's what the Lord says, because Jehoshaphat went to the Lord and talked to the Lord. Remember, I said if you got the Lord, you got the victory, right? Look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, I'll just stop there for just a second. Notice this now. It's going to take some faith. Jehoshaphat, he's up against surmountable odds again. They're outnumbered. And here the Lord says, you don't even got to fight. Come on, think about that for a minute. You don't have to fight. This is mine. But you got to go show up. Yeah, you got to show up. See, a lot of folks don't show up and wonder why they don't win their battles. Come on now. If God's not a spare tire that you just jerk out of the trunk and put on when you have a flat. If you find out most of the time when you jerk out that spare tire, it may already be flat too and need some air. Or it's one of them little old things that you can't go very far on. Right? No, that's not what God wants to be. He says, you just go on out. You don't have to fight. Battle is mine, but you got to show up. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You see that? There you go. He says, you won't have to fight. You got to show up. And they believe it and start worshiping him. What if we believed the word of God and just started worshiping? Man, what might happen when we see it in the word of God? Because the word of God is the word of God, whether it's the Lord speaking here or it's the Lord speaking through his word, right? Because Jesus is the word made flesh. They just start worshiping. They bow down. They just start worshiping. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I mean, now they're having praise party. Worshiping and praising God because of the word, what God has said. And they rose up early in the morning, went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Come on, think about this. God says, just go out, be victorious, just go ahead. See, praises and worshiping, that was a sign of victory. They believed God that they already had the victory enough to where they didn't even put their soldiers out front. They put their worshipers out front. Think about that for a minute. You know, and you don't hear there to where any of them said, oh no, don't put us out there now. No, they believed it too. And so they all go out and they begin to praise and worship the Lord. And what happens? God turns them on themselves again. See, here's the thing you've got to understand. When God wants something done, he'll make it happen. You sit there and figure, how in the world? You couldn't figure that out. There's no way you could figure out that God would cause those armies to turn against themselves and kill each other. That wouldn't even be a thought in your mind. You'd be thinking they're in trouble. But you see, God doesn't think like we think. God already knows he's victorious, and he wants us to see that we're victorious. And he'd already told Jehoshaphat, it's my battle. Not yours. Just show up. And Jehoshaphat believed God enough to show up praising, worshiping, singing, because he already knew God wouldn't lie. And see, I think sometimes that's what you and I got to get in our head. God can't lie. And he doesn't lie. His word is true. So when he tells us we're victorious, when he tells us to walk in victory, that's what we need to do. You can study the word. If you look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, remember them? When they built the big statue of the king and said, whoever, when you hear music, you got to bow down and worship that, they wouldn't do it. No. We just worship our God. And some of the folks there that were jealous of them went and told the king, said, they're not bowing down when you said that. And you said anybody do that, going to get thrown into the furnace. And he calls them in and says, maybe they've been a problem here. Maybe there's a mistake. Maybe you misunderstood. But when the music's played, you're supposed to bow down and worship my image. They looked at him and said, Lord, yo, king, we're not careful to answer you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve our God only. We only bow to him. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to play the music again, and if you'll bow down, I'll spare you a lot. He really didn't want to kill him because they'd brought a lot of riches and favor into his kingdom. And they said, we're just not going to bow down. We'll just tell you that right now. And he got so mad, the Bible says that the way he looked, his countenance changed. And he commanded that the furnace be turned up. And when they got over there to throw them in, the people that threw them in got burned up. And they dropped them in there. And the king walks over and says, wait a minute. Oh, wait. Didn't we throw three in the furnace? Yeah. How come I see four men in there and one of them looks like the Son of God? Now you tell me how he knew it looked like the Son of God. Because it was not the lowly Jesus that most people picture him as. It was the victorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords that was right there in that furnace with them. And he tells them, get them out of there! When they come out, they don't even smell like smoke. See, that's what God can do if we'll walk in victory and trust him and believe him. No matter what the world tries to do to us, we still got the victory. He was the king. He, as the king of the kingdom, he had a right to throw them in the furnace and had a right to have them put to death. But here's the thing. He didn't know the King of Kings. And they did. And because they knew the King of Kings overrode the king. And they came out victorious. Church, God wants you and I walking victorious. We just have to get it in our heads and get it in our hearts and get it in our mouth that we cannot lose for winning. Come on, think about that. You cannot lose for winning because he's already made you victorious. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you tonight. God, thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to help us, Father God. By the Holy Spirit, remind us, Father God, when we try to get a victim mentality, when we try to get a down and out mentality, when we start feeling sorry for ourselves. God, we ask you, Father, help us. Help us to lift up our voices and realize we have victory. And just begin to praise and worship you, and Father, and just walk in that victory, saying that for the Lord is merciful and his mercy endure forever. Lord, we give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody need us to pray with you tonight for anything?